1 Corinthians 13 now. 1 Corinthians 13. We've looked at this so many times together, many times, and yet we cannot exhaust it. We cannot look at it often enough. In fact, we just looked at it. I didn't know, but we just looked at it almost a year ago to this day. But we're not even close to comprehending the love of our God that's in Christ, not even close. The love of Christ which passeth knowledge. The length, the depth, the height, the breadth, we're not even close to understanding that. And that's why we need to keep looking at this. This is the most important message you'll ever hear. Really. Because Paul said, now abideth three things. Faith. You say, faith is important. Yes. The just shall live by faith. It's vital. Hope. Oh, we need hope. Don't we? We live. We're saved by hope. We have a good hope. And love. But he said, the greatest of these is love. The greatest. So this is the most important message we could possibly hear. Charity is the word here in our text, and it's a good word. I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change it for anything. I wouldn't change one word in our Bible. When you think of charity, what do you think of? Giving. Every time, don't you? Giving. Charitable. Something's given. Well, that's love. There is no love that doesn't give. And this describes our God, didn't it? Our gracious God. Grace means gift. And he giveth and giveth and giveth. More grace. So true love, real love, the love of God giveth. That's the greatest definition of love in God's Word. The greatest display of love is how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His well-beloved only begotten Son, the apple of his eye. Gave himself for us. So charity is a good word, but we're going to use the word love because we're more familiar with it. All right? Love. We'll use that throughout this. I hope this is more than a sermon. I hope it's more than a subject we study. I hope the Lord will show us something, his love to us, and give us this love. Put this love in us. All right. Love. What is it? Where does it come from? 1 John 4. Turn to 1 John 4. We're going to look at each verse, each description of love in 1 Corinthians 13. But look at 1 John 4. John wrote of love more than any apostle, didn't he? And mostly in 1 John. And he says, I've got this new Bible on me. I should have waited. 1 John 4. Verse 7 and 8, he said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. This is where love comes from. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I know people abuse that and I hate it, but I'm so glad that God is love, aren't you? That's his nature. That's his nature. God is love. So love originated with our God. And since God is love, now, God is love. And love, to be love, has to express itself, doesn't it? Well, God didn't dwell alone, God the Father, in the beginning. He dwelled with his beloved Son. That's what he's called. He's the one he loved. And the Holy Spirit. These three, they dwelled together. Proverbs 8 says of the Lord says, I was daily his delight before the world. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit dwelled together in light and in perfect love. And God loved his Son so much, Barnard used to say this, they purposed to have a people. Barnard said, a whole bunch of boys just like him. whole bunch of people, just like Christ, and for his glory and for his honor and just for his kingdom. So love began with our God. And since God is love and love is of God, there is no true love. There is no true love outside of God, is there? And it won't last. If it's not of God, it's not true love, and it won't last. That's a fact. Right? And you can't describe, you know, Isaiah, our Lord keeps saying, to whom will you liken me? And people, they say God's love is like a mother's love. Now, hold on now. If a mother loves, then her love may be a little bit like God. You don't compare God to people. No. He's the source of love. He's the definition of love. He's the true love. So love originated with our God, and it's true love, and any love, any true love, like 1 Corinthians 13, is in God and in Christ, and it will never fail. All right, the importance of love. Verse 13, we saw this, that the greatest of these is charity or love, the greatest of these. Listen to this. We read this. He that loveth not knoweth not God. He that loveth is born of God. That's how important it is. Everything works together for good to them that love God. Everything. If you don't, nothing's working for you good. Right? God's against you. See how important it is? The Lord preserveth them that love him. That's what the scripture said. Love is the fulfillment of the law. We're not told to keep the law, are we? But we are commanded to love, aren't we? And he said, that's the fulfillment of the law. How important is it? Great peace have they. I love this verse. Great peace have they who love thy law, thy word. And nothing shall offend them. How important is it? If you love God's word, love God's salvation, you love his truth, you have great peace, and nothing and no one will offend you. Now that's important. It's a great thing, isn't it? They shall prosper. Listen to this. Talking about Jerusalem, talking about the church. Psalm 122. I was going to preach on that. But I don't know how I got here, but I'm glad I did. They shall prosper that love Jerusalem. All those that love God's kingdom, that love God's church, they will prosper. Everything about them. By this shall all men know you're his disciples. You have this love. How important is it? Listen to this. Our Lord in Proverbs 8 says, I love them that love me. I love them that love me. And this verse in verse 8, love, charity, never faileth. This love of God, his love, will never fail us. But if God loves us, and this is why we're so jealous about that, using that, God loves you. But if God loves us, God's love never fails. It will never. He will never quit loving it. It's not possible for God to love someone less than another. Christ said, my Father loves you as he loved me. God cannot destroy somebody he loves. Cannot. See how important this is? Love never faileth. If this love, if God loves us, he won't fail us. If this love is in us, friendships won't fail. Marriages won't fail. If this love is in a husband and a wife, Christ in you is the hope of glory. If this love is in you and your husband and your wife, your marriage will not fail. Love never faileth. This church will never fail if God's love is here. Love never fails. It won't fail. All right. So God is the source of it. And go back to 1 John 4 again with me. 1 John 4. We're going to get to 1 Corinthians 3. But I want you to look at this. Just read this with me. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God. Knoweth God. That means love God. Love His truth. Love His salvation. Love His glory. Love His honor. Love His Son. Love His Word. Love His truth. Love mercy. He that knoweth not, loveth not God. He that loveth not the truth, loveth not God as God, God's right to be God, His sovereignty, His holiness, Christ, knoweth not God. God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. He's talking to His people, beloved. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Whoever God loves is going to live forever. Herein is love, not that we love God. None of us did. Romans 5 says, while we were yet sinners. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to pitch us, to cover us in His own blood, to bear us, propitiate us, cover us, atone for us. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected and matured. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him. Do you love His truth? God's people receive a love for the truth. All of it. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Do you love God's kingdom? Do you love His people? Do you love what we're doing here? You love to hear Christ exalted. Can I preach God too sovereign? Can I say anything about man that would offend you? Well, you love the truth, don't you? You know how few people do. Oh, God dwelleth in us. Hereby we know we dwell in Him, He in us. He's given us of His Spirit, His Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love. Love for God. Some of you were in religion and you didn't love God. You heard the truth about who God is and you don't believe that. Aren't you glad God loved you? Set His love on you? You will. God says, you will love me. And loving me, this is way on down the line, but loving me, you'll hate yourself. And you'll hate every false way. That's what David said. Do not I hate them that hate thee. Hereby we know, verse 14, we've seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Gentiles. Whosoever shall confess Jesus as the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God, and we've known and believed the love that God had to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. He keeps stressing it. Herein is our love, for love with us made perfect, mature, grows, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. I'll never forget Brother Scott Richardson preaching on that. Nobody will ever forget it when they heard it. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. See, if God really loves us, we should have nothing to fear. And if we love one another, we shouldn't be afraid of offending one another too much. If we had the love of God in us, really, if it was perfected in us like it is in our Lord, we wouldn't worry about offending one another. And we'd love others better than ourselves. We love Him, verse 19, he that appeareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him. This is commandment. That he who loveth God love his brother also. So this is the importance of love. All right, now go to our text, and let's look at the character of love. And we'll see God's love for us, and hopefully, there's nothing that begets love but love. The law won't do it. Nothing motivates love but love. You understand me? It's the love of God, the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. And the love of God, when we see what Christ did for us on Calvary's tree, that will make us love Him. So here's the character of love, okay? And you're going to, as you read this, you know this. And it's like someone said to me, I'm so convicted. Good. For whom the Lord loveth. You're chasing it. If this doesn't chasten you, God doesn't love you. You didn't hear it. You didn't hear it. It talks about herein is our love perfected. Our love is far from perfect. All right. Verse 1. Now, verses 1 through 3, he had been talking about speaking in tongues or languages. He'd been talking about prophecy, people that could preach and prophesy. He'd been talking about knowledge and so forth. One is given the gift of knowledge and a better understanding. And talking about gifts, healing and so forth that was given to some back then, not now. He has been talking about giving, that some were given the gift to give, given the means to give. And he said, in all that, if you don't have love, it's nothing. I don't care what you say or how you say it. You're just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You're a noise in God's ear. Without this heartfelt love for God, His truth, His glory, His honor, for His people, if that's not there, it's love of self. It's love. You want to hear yourself. I remember this thing about preaching. I remember reading as a young preacher, an old preacher said, it's one thing to love to preach. It's another thing entirely to love those to whom you preach. Completely different. I have listened to men that it's obvious that they really like the sound of their own voice and they were just mean to people. Oh my, without love, sounded brass, tinkling cymbal, although you may know all the doctrines, that's hypothetical. If I knew all the prophecy, nobody knows. He went on to say we know in part, don't we? But suppose we thought we did and have not love? Nothing. If you bestowed everything you had, if you gave your body to be burned, and without this love of God in you, love of Christ, it profits you nothing. Now here's love. Here's God's love. Charity, love, suffereth long. Suffered long. Our Lord one time said to His disciples, and He said it in a way, I know He said it in a way to rebuke them for their unbelief. Because they, think of all that they saw. Think of all that they heard. And yet they still acted at times like they didn't believe or hear a word He said. And I'm glad. Because that's me. Okay, and so He said, how long must I suffer with you? Remember that? And, you know, they were hanging their heads. Oh, Lord, we're sorry. Like little kids. How long did He? Having loved His own, He loved them to the end. Love suffereth long. Patiently endures. Patiently endures. That's what long suffering means. Patiently endures. Love is kind. Love is kind. The word merciful is the same thing as kind. Love is kind. Love is kind. Our Lord is so kind, isn't He? So merciful. When Moses asked Him His glory, and the Lord said, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. I'm going to claim the name of the Lord. And He said, the Lord God, What's the first thing he said? Merciful. Gracious. Long-suffering. That's his name. Oh, my, so kind. God's been so kind to me, hasn't he? So merciful. Not giving me what I deserve, giving me more than I deserve, and so kind to me. Love is kind in thought. God said, I know my thoughts towards you. Thoughts of peace. Love is kind in word. The Lord chastens us mostly through His word. Isn't that kind? He doesn't take a rod out. He takes the rod of His word out and chastens us. But we often think, the Lord's going to get me for that. No, Brother David keeps telling us He's out to do us good. No. He's not like us. He doesn't take vengeance on His people. He chastens them. He's kind in word. He's kind in deed. He's kind. Thought, word, and deed. Remember the criteria for speaking about someone? Or speaking of someone? Is it true? The Lord knows truth about us. The whole truth. Does He tell anybody? Mm-mm. Is it kind? What you say about someone. Is it necessary? Yeah, love is kind. Love envieth not. Love envieth not. Love wants the best for the one it loves. Seeks to bestow the best. Love wants the one it loves to be better off than yourself. Boy, that's our Lord, isn't it? Left glory. He who was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that we through His poverty might be what? Made rich. My. That's love. Not envy. Envy. You know, jealousy has to do with relationships. You're jealous of somebody loving somebody else. Our Lord, He wants everybody to love everybody. Not want. He commands it. Did I say that? Erase that. God commands that we love one another as we love Him. Love each other. Jealousy has to do with relationships. How could we be jealous of anybody's love for one another? But envy is wanting what somebody else has. Envy has to do with things. Wanting what somebody else has. Want their talents. Want their looks. Want their possessions. Want their whatever. Our Lord was rich and gave it all. Why? Who did He do that for? Gomer. A forlorn woman. My. That's love. That's love. Greater loveth no man than this. Love, verse 4, vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Lord, love doesn't vaunt itself. Or is not pride, puffed up. It doesn't like to talk about itself. This is self-denial. It's the first thing our Lord said when He said, if you take up your cross and follow Me, let a man deny himself. That's what our Lord did, didn't it? He denied His own self, His own glory, His own comfort, His own well-being, His own praise, His own honor. And He came down here to the reproaches of them, reproach they fell on Him. And He came not to vaunt Himself. He came to speak of the Father, to bear witness of the Father. Now, the Father speaks to the Son. The Holy Spirit speaks to the Son. But the Son speaks to the Father. He denied Himself. He really did. And so should we. As I said in the beginning, to love God is to hate yourself. If you really love God, know something of the love of God and the character of God, you will hate yourself. The more you know of God, the more you will be ashamed of yourself. That's right. Pride cannot dwell for very long in a believer. Cannot, or you don't know God. You don't know God. Love, verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. That means it's not rude or discourteous. Oh, my. Now let's talk about our Lord first, okay? Our Lord served His people when He was on this earth. He served His people every waking hour of His life. Every moment that He was awake, He served His people. He was courteous. Courteous. That's what Peter wrote in verse. Courteous. That is, preferring other, thinking of other before yourself. After you. No, I insist. It's rude, you know, to do otherwise. Rude. Oh, we've all been rude and discourteous, even to those we love. But it's not a constant thing. If love is truly there, you really do want the other. Prefer the other one before yourself. You really do. Our Lord, that's Him. Love, verse 5, seeketh not her own. This goes along with that. Christ served His people all day, every day for 33 years. Oh, how long He served. Love seeketh not her own, not my wants, not my will, not my wishes. What's in it for me? Our Lord knew what was in it for Him when He came. What? Hatred and indignation and grief and sorrow. And that's what He knew. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Seeketh not her own. He wants wanting. The one time our Lord in the garden, when he thought, I'm not going to be able to live through this thinking about separation from my Father. He said, I'm not going to live through this. And He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will. And we say that, but and then God sends tough things, and it's not what we would want, but we've got to bow to it, don't we? And we'll see. Don't you love that verse? That we're going to know as we've been known. We're going to know like our Lord knows. And we're going to see clearly. Love seeketh not her own. Love is not easily provoked. Oh my. That's our Lord, isn't it? Listen to Psalm 106. You know this. You know this well. Psalm 106, Psalm 107. All of these. It says, they provoked Him at the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, He saved them for His mercy's sake. He went on to say that many times did He deliver them, but they provoked Him with their counsel, and they were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, He regarded their affliction when He heard their cry. He remembered His covenant. Oh, my. Nevertheless, that's a good word. For sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Not easily provoked. Oh, we do so much to provoke His anger, but God is slow to anger. Let's be that way. Slow to anger. Swift to hear, slow to anger, slow to wrath. Love is not easily provoked. Love thinketh no evil. Love wishes no evil upon the one it loves. Wishes no evil, but only good. Now, our Lord told us to even love our enemies. With man, this is impossible. But I'm here to tell you, God's grace really is sufficient. There's someone, well, more than one, that hates me. And I pray for that person. I really do. I hope and pray that the Lord will have mercy on that person. Save their soul. I really do. I really do. I'm not vaunting myself here. I'm just telling you, God's grace really is sufficient. It's hard to pray for somebody that hates you. Well, with God, all things are possible, aren't they? Our Lord did. He prayed. He came down to a place where nobody loved him. Nobody loved him. If he hadn't prayed for us, none of us would have loved him, would he? Oh, my. Love thinketh no evil, wants no evil to befall the one it loves. My, my. So, our Lord said this about his people, Psalm 91, no evil shall befall you. Didn't he? No evil shall befall you. All working together for good. That's love. That's the love of God. Think of no evil. Verse 6. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but the truth. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. Love grieves over the sin of a brother or sister. I've had people call me, brothers call me when they heard some fall of someone, like they couldn't wait to tell it. It's awful. Awful. I don't understand that. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity. It grieves over the sin and the falls and the failure of the one it loves. Grieves over them. And covereth. Love covereth. Doesn't expose. Covereth. You'll see that in a minute. Love rejoiceth in the truth. Love rejoiceth in the truth. Is it true? Is it really true? Don't believe something unless you know it's actually true. And I remind you what David said. All men are liars. So, if we believe men, God's witness is greater. Let's believe him. Let's not judge evil thoughts. James said we become judges. Even if it is true, love forgiveth. And forget love. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, rejoiceth in the truth. Let's get to the truth of this. I had a brother that used to call me when he'd hear something and say, is this true? Like, he didn't want to believe it. Or he wanted to get to the truth. He wanted to hear both sides. That's good, isn't it? You don't want somebody to dislike you, quit loving you because somebody else said about you, do you? Is that fair? Shouldn't they come to you? Sure they should. So-and-so said this about him, and now I don't like it. Why don't you call him? Get to the truth of the matter. You want to know the truth? It might be completely different than what you've heard. You might be believing a lie. No, don't do that. Isn't that good counsel? Love rejoiceth in the truth. Is it true? Love beareth all things. The word beareth is not the word bear one another's burden, but bear one another's burden, Galatians 6, although we're told to do that. If a brother be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thine own self, lest you be go through the same thing. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the royal law of Christ. That's bear. That's you know, have a burden for and a concern for. But this word means cover. The word actually means cover with silence. Look it up. I love the concordance. Look it up. Beareth means cover with silence. I remember so many times growing up, I did things and I was guilty of things and my dad knew it. He wouldn't say a word. You remember something like that happened to you, Rob? You need to tell everybody that story sometime. Oh, my. Dear old dad. That's love, isn't it? Cover with silence. We just won't talk about it. Let's just go on. Like it never happened. Love beareth all things. All things. Oh, what did our Lord bear in silence? Everything. He spoke not a word. He was not guilty. We were. He became us. So he shut his mouth. He could have said, I'm not guilty. These are all false witnesses. Love believeth all things. Love believeth all things. Love believes the best, not the worst. See, she didn't mean that. She's having a bad day. I have bad days. I act worse than that. I just believe that, you know, she'll get over that, or he'll get over that, or he'll get through that, or the Lord will bring him through that. That's just not him. That's just not him. That's not him. That's believing the best. Believeth all things. Love believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Boy, oh boy, you never give up hope for somebody you love. They can be really be down and out. And but those who love that person will never give up hope. Ever. And as long as the gospel is being preached, there's hope. We just looked at Hosea and Gomer, didn't we? Huh? Was there anything that would make you happier than to see one of our wayward children come in and sit and start hearing the gospel and getting that baptism? Would that just thrill your heart and soul more than anything? Could you rejoice if it's somebody else's child? Teresa, I know you could. Kelly, I know you could rejoice if Blair came out. I know you could. Couldn't you? Whether he saves yours or not, wouldn't that be wonderful? Hallelujah. Or vice versa. That's love. You love him, he loves you. You love each other's children. Hopeth all things. Hope. It's not hopeless. It's never hopeless as long as this gospel is being preached. Gospel is the power of God and salvation. Love hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Endureth. 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 That means we'll go through it all. And not stop. Not stop loving. Fail. Never fail. You know Psalm 136? His mercy endureth forever. And he says that 26 times. Every single verse. I'm sure glad, aren't you? It's like he kept saying that, and the average person would say, this is redundant. This is repeating himself. Why does he keep saying it? I'm glad. Keep saying it. It's my greatest need. And so every verse, never miss the verse. Endure forever. Endure forever. Endure forever. Endure forever. Oh, hopeth. You know, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him and hope in his mercy. Love endureth all things. Love never faileth. Verse 8. See, this is why whoever God loves, he saves. Or else his love is a failure. Right? The blood is a failure. The Holy Spirit's a failure. That's what one of those false prophets said. You remember that? Was it... I don't know who was it. Kenneth, one of those guys, I hate to even bring their name up. But he said, Hell is an eternal monument to the failure of God to save some people. He said that, didn't he? Jeanette, Ed, you've read that. Love never faileth. Our God, in Isaiah 42, he said, behold my servant, he shall not fail. And he's not even going to be discouraged. Well, Lord, he's a demoniac. Anything too hard for the Lord? He won't even be discouraged. Set his fate like a flint. Oh, my.
I love sovereign election and sovereign love, don't you? Well, whoever he loves, he saves. He goes, let's go on and I'll quit. It says, whether it be prophecies, they'll fail. No more need for prophesying or even preaching. Won't need me. Don't need Paul. Won't need any other fellow. Won't need it with Christ. He's going to make it all real clear. One preacher forever, him. And they'll fail, but whether they be languages, we're all going to speak the same language. Heavenly language. They'll see knowledge. It'll vanish away. We'll know it. We know in part now. We prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. And this, speaking as a child and understanding as a child, means all of us right now, our understanding is so shallow. Our faith is so shallow. Our love is so shallow. And it's what he's saying is, one of these days we're going to know perfectly. We don't need faith. We'll know. We'll see. And we'll love. Oh, love. You know, we love him, but we're so ashamed of our love, aren't we? I love that song. Dear Lord, and shall we live at this poor dying rate? Our love to thee so cold, so faint, and thine to us so great. Come, Holy Spirit. I love that. But then we're going to love, and that's why we're going to sing at the top of our love. We want to now because we love this song, but we're so, it's got self to contend with. We don't have flesh to contend with. And we're all singing perfect key and we're not trying to outdo one another. Ah, boy. And he goes on to say, I became a man, I put away childish things, and this certainly has an application to maturing. You know, we ought to not be childish in our love, but more mature, like our Father's love for us. Now, he says in verse 12, we see through a glass darkly, dimly, but then face to face. Oh, my. Know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. So, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest is love. It's charity. And I want you to turn with me in closing to Ephesians 3. We always close with a prayer. And this is my prayer for you and for me. Ephesians 3. Let's close with this prayer and then you're dismissed. Look at it. Ephesians 3. I think this was the first message I ever brought to you. Ephesians 3, Paul said in verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And I pray that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Right now, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God, character of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed.